Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Don't know if you noticed, I've been going back to the gym recently. Myself and Dave, we're looking pretty buff at the moment. You know, we've been hitting the weights, and you don't have to all tell us at once. It's fine. Whatever. I won't flex because I really like this shirt and I don't want to rip it. Exactly. So, the reason I brought that up is because today I'm talking on unity. And when we go to the gym, you know, I can't go by myself. I don't get motivated at all. If I go to the gym by myself, I end up taking those selfies going at the gym but not actually doing anything, and then just posting on social media so it looks like I did something. So it's good going with a mate, and we both motivate each other, and you know, we've been doing weights lately, and I'll tell you what, I've not been that sore in my life. I hadn't been to the gym in that long, and I was so sore for 2 days. The girls at work were laughing at me because I couldn't lift anything. You know, and I'm the strong one there, and they're doing everything for me. I'm like, I can't move my arms. You know, Dave thought it was hilarious, so I'm glad he found it funny. But anyway, so we're going to talk on unity this morning. So hello to, it's not on yet, but hello to our Facebook friends anyway when they get up. Do you want me to wait? Okay. Now, being united is something we've all experienced in life, whether that's in family, in sporting groups, in social groups, even in church. Unity helps us to build the kingdom of God, and it creates connection and friendship. In church, you know, Christianity has many variants. We identify ourselves as Pentecostal, but in our local area, you know, we've got Baptists, we've got Seventh-day Adventists, we've got evangelicals. We all serve the same God. We all serve the same God. We're all united in the kingdom. It doesn't matter what the doctrine is. It doesn't matter what you believe. We all serve the same God. And I just want to talk about that today. We've got a Bible example. One of the simplest Bible examples for me is the disciples. They were with Jesus every day, pretty much. They were with him all the time, the entire walk. The disciples were there, and they were unified. They didn't do things without Jesus, and when they did, it usually got them into trouble. And it's just like us in church. We're unified with Christ. We're unified with Christ the same way they were. They saw miracles because they were unified with Christ. They saw people healed because they were unified with Christ. And that can happen in your life. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. If you are unified with Christ, as we saw before, Jennifer couldn't walk when she came in here. She's now fully healed because she's unified with Christ. She can't walk now because she's drunk in the spirit, but, you know, she's sitting, so it's okay. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Colossians 3, verse 14. And in Colossians 3, verse 14, it says, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." We show love to others, which in turn makes us united. You know, non-believers, they don't know God. That's why they're called non-believers. So when we love on them, when we show them Christ, we're united. That's what unity is about, church. I'm going to use a sporting analogy, as I always do, because that's what I enjoy. So a really big sporting analogy for me about unity is rugby league, the sport that I love, the sport that I follow. Now, in rugby league, you play as a team. Well, some teams play as a team. Anyway, we won't get onto that. But you play with 12 other players. Now, things happen on the field. You know, you might be losing. We went to a game yesterday. Roosters played at Gosford, so Dad and I went along to that, which was great. And we were losing at halftime. And I'm going, oh no, like, you know, my non-Christian's coming out here. Here we go. We're going to lose. But the boys, the second half, they united. they join together to win the game, to win the battle, to win the fight. And that's what we do in church. You know, we don't go out there and just go, oh, the battle is being lost at the moment, so I'm just going to give up. You just got to keep going. You just got to keep trying to win souls. That's what it's about. We need to build the kingdom. And the only way we're going to do that is by being united, is by joining together, whether that's churches or even you as a congregation, joining together to reach the lost. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Let's just read that again. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We can never do it alone, church. Never. You know, we can't win the battle on our own, and we're all fighting our own battle too. Just because I'm up here doesn't make me perfect. I mean, I'm pretty close, but I'm still not. I am. Thank you. I'm getting there. It's not the destination, but the journey. It's not about where you're going to end up. It's where you're going at the moment to get to that place. It's never easy. As I preached last time, there's always obstacles that are going to be in your way. And even being united in Christ and being united with one another, there are still going to be obstacles present. It's not a straight walk. If it was, we'd all be there. We would have been there years ago. It wouldn't have mattered. So we unite with others to help on our walk and to help us light our path as well. And we unite with our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just for that connection, but also to keep each other accountable. You know, the best thing I ever heard when I went to a conference was about having an accountability partner. Someone in your life that says, you know, you tell each other everything and then they say, man, how are you going with that this week? You know, did you struggle in that area? Oh, yeah, I did. All right, that's cool. Let's just pray about it. Having an accountability partner is something that is so awesome. You know, we call it a brother Barnabas. Everybody needs a brother Barnabas in their life, someone that keeps them accountable. Everybody also needs a Pastor Paul, someone that they look up to, a mentor. And if we have that, we can encourage one another. You have an accountability partner, you keep them encouraged, you know, you say, okay, you're struggling with that, we'll fix it up. All of that's unity. You're uniting together. Unity is not something that's hard to grasp, church. It's a really simple concept. The disciples did this with Jesus. They were on the journey and they would go where he would go. They were united, but they still had issues. He was there to encourage and help them through it. We know they had issues. We all know the story. We all know that he was betrayed. They all had issues. But that's how Jesus treats us. He loves us because we're his sons and daughters. We're united just by knowing his name. We don't have to say a special prayer. We don't have to be good every day of the week. We're united knowing his name. So I just encourage you, I'm still going, but I just want to encourage you to find someone in church even. Find an accountability partner. Find someone who maybe you've never thought of before as someone who might be able to help you with that stuff. And just find someone, encourage one another, get united, get connected with people. That's the best thing about church for me. Every church I've gone to, the only reason I would stay in a church is if there is connection. I'm not going for a church for a business. I'm not going to church to be the main man. It's not about that. It's about connection. It's about friendship. I've got so many friends of mine who grew up Christians but don't believe that they have to go to church. And you know what? They're 100% right. They don't have to, but it's important. It's important to go. A really good friend of mine is like that. You know, he believes in God and he can get really deep with you in theology, but he doesn't believe he has to go to church. And unfortunately, he doesn't really have any friends, Christian friends. He doesn't have connection. And, you know, things have been happening in his life recently, and he hasn't been able to cope with it. He doesn't know what to do because he's not united in Christ. He's not united like we are. So I just encourage you to get together with someone. In Ephesians 4 verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To me, this verse is saying that it's not about us. It's, you know, there's other churches, like I was saying before. We're not the only church. We're not the only ones that believe in God. We're not the only ones that are united in Christ. There are other people in the kingdom, and we need to keep the peace with them. I don't know how many people I know, and it's usually Christians, who judge other churches. They judge other Christians because, oh, they don't believe what I believe. Who cares? Who cares? Like Dad always says, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has them and most of them stink. All right? And it's true. See, I learned something from him. 22 years. But it's true, church. You know, it doesn't matter what other people believe. What's important is what you believe and your relationship with Christ. What you believe. No one else. You know, we're made in the image of God. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter. Because he always thinks great of you. He always thinks you're important. You are significant. He never thinks otherwise. God loves you despite your issues, despite your dirt. It does not matter. And we don't need to judge them. God is the only one that can judge, and he doesn't. He's the only one that has the authority to judge, and he doesn't. He doesn't because it's about love. If we're going to unite as Christians, if we're going to unite in the body of Christ, we need love. Love on others. Other Christians and those that aren't saved. They'll never get into the kingdom if you force your religion on them. They'll never get into the kingdom if you don't love on them. If you're being Christianese as such. If you say, oh, you must come to church, you must read your Bible, otherwise, you know, you're not saved. Love on the person. Is this good? Sweet. I'll keep going. Yeah. So no one is greater than anyone else. Let me just put that out there. No one is greater. It's just simple. Well, no, not even me. That's right. Exactly. You know, church, growing up, like going through school, you know, I thought unity, you know, I was like, oh, I have a lot of friends. I'm pretty popular. From high school onwards, I was pretty popular in school because I used to just entertain and muck around, and everyone really liked me for that for some reason. I don't know why. but after school, I really struggled with unity. I'm a person who's not very good with their own time. I hate being on my own. I just can't handle it because I just love having people there because I can do things, you know, go and have fun, do stuff. When I'm on my own, I just like, oh, what do I do? But I never realized that was a time for me and God. That's a time where I can tell him my issues. You know, God doesn't come in the conferences. He doesn't just come in the noise. He comes in the quiet. He came on the mountain when it was still. And yes, so after school, I never really had a set of close friends. You know, I had to go out and make friends. All my friends from school sort of went their own direction, and that's what happens. Everyone does their own thing. Everybody leaves. Nobody stays together. And I wanted people there all the time. It was probably up until last year. I went on a holiday to Melbourne, and Dad tagged along for a couple of days. And that was fantastic. You know, we had a great time. But after Dad left, I still had 5 days by myself. And I'm going, oh, I'm not very good at this. Like, who am I going to talk to? People think I'm weird if I start talking to myself. You know, it looks a bit strange. But I found that I really enjoyed it. I just decided to make the best of the situation. And, you know, I spent time with God. I spent time checking out the city, just me. You know, and now I can enjoy my own time. You know, doing night shift that I do at work, I sleep most of the day. And when I wake up, I really don't want to talk to people. Let's be honest. So sometimes I just don't want to deal with people. And so now I'd rather have my own time. But that's what unity is as well, guys. It's if you can't handle time with just you and God, then that's not good. You need to be able to unite with just yourself and Jesus in the Spirit. I found myself doing things that I would have never done. I would have never, you know, sat down, listened to worship music, read my Bible, written sermons. You know, I would have rather been out playing sport or, you know, being with the boys and doing stuff like that. And I found myself doing that stuff. And you, again, it comes back to your journey. You know, it's all about learning. It's all about learning. And we learn that as we go on. You know, something that I never thought I'd be good at, I now love having my own time. Church, we always forget that God is there all the time. I forgot that. God is there all the time. He never leaves. He doesn't say, I'll be right back. You know, I just got to go get a coffee or just got to go to the toilet. I won't be long. He doesn't do that. God is there all the time. You know, and when we don't feel united, when we don't believe that we are loved and that no one cares, we need to lean on him. When we feel like that, open your Bible. Say a quick prayer. Just talk to God. Because we are always with someone. We are actually never alone. You're never fully alone. As a Christian, you are never fully alone. And that's why the world hurts so much. The world hurts so much because they don't know Christ like we know Christ. They don't know a loving God. They just think that, oh, I'll turn to alcohol, drugs, sex, you know, all of that stuff, and that will make me feel better. And then once that's done, they feel worse than they did before because they don't have Christ in their life. Sorry, I'm just sweating a bit. I'm just going to wipe my forehead. Now, I recently helped out at a youth event called United We Stand. Last year, I helped out, and it was really cool. We used to have a youth event called Groundswell, which all the youth used to go to on the coast. And so this was sort of broke off that. It was called United We Stand, and it was amazing. You know, I'm still young, but I'm going to call them young people. So there was a bunch of young people there, younger than me. We'll just say that. Younger than me. I'm pretty young myself, but I'm probably an old soul when it comes to, you know, Christianity as such. You know, I've been in it 20-odd years. But there was a bunch of young people coming to a service and just worshipping God. And when I looked around, they didn't care what their mates were doing. It didn't matter about what the guy next to them was doing. They were just worshipping God. They were standing. They were saying, you know what? We are united. And I pray for our younger generation sometimes because, especially in the world tells you otherwise. The world tells you that you don't need a God, that you can get through without him. But it's not true, church. It's not true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. What is he? The way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other way. And United We Stand was just about that, standing as one body. It was about standing together and showing non-believers that we do care and that we're on their level. I'm their age, you know. There's non-believers out there that just think that church is full of old people. That's not true. We're all young souls here, aren't we? We're all young. Young at heart. You know, Rick just turned 31. We're all young. It's wonderful. And it just blew my mind. You know, young people just showing that God cares. God cares, and it doesn't matter how young you are. You know, it says that in 1 Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you are young. When I was in a big youth group, I had, you know, kids come up to me and say that all the time. They said, oh, I can't do anything, Joey. I'm only 12 or I'm only 13. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're not only 12. You're not only 13. You're united in Christ. You're a Christian. You can do anything you put your mind to. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. It doesn't put an age limit on it. It doesn't say I can do some things if I'm 16 and over, but I can do all things if I'm 30 and over. No, I can do all things at any age. And so it was such a great, it wasn't a conference, it was just a one day, a one night thing, but it was so good to see, you know, and there were salvations. We had salvations. We had kids that had never experienced God before, and they said, why are these group of young people so excited? Why are these people so excited for something you can't see? I can't see Jesus. Why am I excited about it? You know, and their hearts were changed. They were going, well, he must be real then. Look how excited they are. Look how much faith they show. You know, to me, it takes more faith to believe that the world just happened. Well, I think if you believe that, you've got more faith than I do. Because it makes a lot more sense to believe that someone created the world. You see the detail in everything. How can you believe that it just happened? Well, I just believe God clapped his hands and that was the Big Bang. That's what happened. There we go. So I just want to share a little funny story about uniting. So when I was younger, my sister and I didn't get along much. We still don't, but occasionally. But we used to unite together occasionally, and it was usually for more harm than good. So I wish I could say that it was good, but it usually wasn't. So we would join together and do something that we thought was hilarious. My mum never found funny. So when, you know, of course, I was never the instigator. Never. Always the younger ones. They're always trouble. I just followed, exactly. I vividly remember when Mum was on the phone. I was about 4, Kiralee was 3. And while Mum was on the phone, I had a great idea to get everything out of the pantry. Everything. Onto the carpet. So I crawled in and knocked all the flour and made a huge mess. And Kiralee and I were covered in flour. Absolutely covered, like white faces. You know, we looked albino, sorry, if that's how you say it. We were pure white, and Kiralee made a huge mess. And I had to clean it up, of course. That's a lie. Mum cleaned it up. But, you know, at least we did something together. You know, that doesn't happen often. But Mum got off the phone and looked at us, and she couldn't help but laugh, and she even took a photo of it, which we got today, which is great. If I find it sometime, I'll show you. But and she had to clean it up. So we still won that battle because Mum ended up cleaning it. We didn't, so it was great. But the reason I share that story, church, is because sometimes we unite with the wrong thing. Sometimes we unite with the wrong people. Sometimes we have influences come into our life that we believe are good and they're not. You need to be careful who you unite with. You need to be careful who you get connected with. Because people change you. Circumstances change you. Sometimes there might be people that you unite with that maybe you shouldn't. You know, there are people or things we get tied to. And often we don't know that it is bad for us. And we get tied into that for a long time, a really long time. And it's only until we unite back into Christ that we realize. It's only until we unite with him that we realize what we were uniting with was wrong. Jeremiah 24 verse 3 says, "Then the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' 'Figs,' I answered. 'The good ones are very good, but the bad ones are so bad they cannot be eaten.'" We need to surround ourselves with good figs. We do. We need to surround ourselves with good figs. Be united with people who are for you and not against you. Sometimes it's hard to see the bad figs. You go, "Oh, it looks really nice." It's like Genesis, Adam and Eve. The fruit looked nice. The devil said, "Did God say you can't eat from it?" They go, "Oh, it does look very good." So sometimes we don't notice the bad figs. To see that what someone is doing to you is harmful. And it's not living in perfect unity, church. We're not living in perfect unity if we're tied to something like that. We need to stand up for who we are and for what we believe in. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to not declare that Jesus is Lord. Our days are numbered. We don't know when our time's up. We don't have time. I don't have time. You don't have time. You know, I stand for what I believe in. All my friends are non-Christians and they all know that I go to church. They all know that I believe in a God because I tell them. I'm open. I don't treat them as a different person. I still love on them as who they are and what they believe. But they know that I'm a Christian. They know that I'm going to stand for what I believe in. And you need to be able to be strong, church. You need to be able to say no. If something is coming against you, if you're uniting to something that is not good for you and harmful in your life, you need to be able to say no. You need to say what is going on is wrong. What's happening is wrong. And sometimes the consequences are great. You lose friends or people you thought were friends. You lose people in your life and then you grieve over that and you go, "Oh, you know, we had such good memories." But often you didn't. You had good worldly memories. Did they help you on your walk with Christ? Did they help you get to where you need to go? A lot of the time they didn't. I don't know how many people I've seen that this has happened to. You know, they've been amazing men and women with such great callings and then they've either gotten into a relationship that has affected them or they've gotten some friends that have affected them and it's just changed their life, completely taken them out of Christianity. I've got close friends. I've got family like that who have just been so on fire for God at one stage and then just not the next because of what they're tied to. So just be careful what you get tied to, church. Unite with Christ, don't unite with the world. We need to be a people of unity. Fall into his peace and understanding, church. You know, our thing up here says, arise, shine, and build. In the Bible it says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. Arise and shine. I believe that's talking straight about unity. You need to arise. You need to shine your light to build the kingdom. Arise, shine, and build. In closing, I just want to share a quick story. It's a pastor. I heard this at a conference as well, and it's a pastor who shared the story. And anyway, unity in the kingdom will grow, and that's what his sermon was entitled, basically. And he talks about how he started. He first came to church. He had terrible past. He did everything that, you know, we're called not to do as Christians. And he remembered the first time he came to church. And the reason he came was because they told him there was cute girls at church. And so he was like, "I'll be there." And so he went for that reason. And anyway, he went and he didn't really engage. He was like, "Oh," sat up the back and was like, "You know, this isn't really for me." And he ended up getting just hammered by God. Started bawling his eyes out. And now, you know, men don't cry. And so, you know, this guy was described himself as a tough guy. And he was like, you know, I don't really cry in my life. But when he went to church, he just bawled his eyes out. And he said, you know, God changed him in that moment. And so he started helping out. You know, he started serving in church, started sweeping the floors. That's how he started. He mentions this, you know, he said, I swept the floors in church. He didn't argue about it. He just did it. I swept the floors in church. Then he started moving into ministry. He started with kids ministry. And, you know, he didn't argue about it. Had screaming kids at him. He didn't argue about it. He just did it. And he started moving up in ministry. And he started helping in different aspects of ministry as his knowledge grew in God and his understanding. And he started to unite with other churches because he believed it was about unity. That's what he believed, church. He believed that he had to talk to other churches, that he had to unite with them, get them involved in events, get them involved in things that were going on a Sunday. And so he united with others in church and he got himself an accountability partner that I was talking to you about before. And, you know, he used to share how a lot of his past stuff that he did would come up, you know, and then he'd be taken back a bit and be like, whoa, you know, like, because it was crazy. And he said, you know, he got that accountability partner who really helped him with that. He did that and his accountability partner just helped him to acknowledge the previous sin in his life. Because we don't need to block it out, church. We just need to acknowledge it. We need to say, that was my past. It was there. And I know it happened. It doesn't mean we go, you pretend it didn't happen at all. Because we still need to declare our sins. We still need to declare our sins to God. And so he did that. And he kept going through his journey with Christ. And he was told he could start preaching. And maybe leading a small group. And it was something he always wanted to do. He wanted to lead a home group. That was his ultimate thing. So he started preaching some Sundays, leading a home group in his church. And he ended up getting over 500 people saved just from his small group. Just from a small group and preaching on unity. From telling his small group that it's about unity, that it's about connecting with Christ. You got over 500 people saved from his ministry of love and kindness. That's all it was. And I just want to encourage you with that today, church, that you can do that too. Don't stress about the burdens that are filling your life. Give those burdens to God. And just remember unity. Remember that there are a lot of us in the kingdom and we are all here to see it grow and win the fight. You're not alone. You do not have to do it alone. Unite with others. Unite with Christ. Help others and fight the battle. You know, I think coffee shops are so good. Christians can connect. It's unfortunate the one next to us shut down, but coffee shops are great. You connect with other Christians. I know the girls, you do a thing on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. Yeah. And see that? Like, that's connection. See, Jenny, if you want to come, Thursday mornings, 10 o'clock. We're just promoting here. Why not? Guys and girls, there you go. But it's such a good thing to do. And just be a people of love and kindness. So we're going to take a moment now. If I can just get the keys up. Someone wants to do the keys for me. Anyone? Thanks. Just want to take a moment. Everything sounds more spiritual with keys anyway. You can say anything you want when keys are playing. Anything. Watch. I'll show you. I'll give you an example in a second. There's morning tea after the service. See how spiritual that was? Stay for a coffee. Stay for a chat. Connect with somebody. And we're just going to take a moment, church. We're just going to take a moment. I know we did that before where we prayed for people, but I just want you to take a moment to think about unity, to think about your own life. Have a chat to God. You know, if you want prayer, come up the front. Even if you just want to stand up here and close your eyes. For those of you who have to leave, you know, grab a coffee on your way out or something, and you're free to go. But for anyone else, you know, we'd just take this time and just spend it with God. I'm going to pray, and if you want to come up, you're welcome to. So I'll just pray. Dear Lord Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we are united with you, Lord. We thank you that we are united in Christ, united in the body. And Lord, I just really pray for everyone here today, for this congregation, God, that you help to build people up, that you help them to encourage others, you help them to connect. God, I pray for those out there that are hurting, for those that are broken. Lord, we just pray for you to take that, God, to just take their burden, to just say, it's okay that I love you, my child. And we just pray for that today, Lord. And I just really thank you for everyone. I thank you that we get the opportunity to just celebrate you. And some countries don't. Some countries have to go underground. They have to hide because of their faith. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to hide for our faith. That we don't have to go underground to believe what we want to believe in. And Lord, I just pray today that we go and influence people. That we go out into the world and we show them what they're missing. That we show them love. We show them kindness. We show them unity. And with other churches as well, God, I just pray for no judgment. I just pray for love in other churches, Lord, that it doesn't matter what you believe in the doctrine, but you believe in the one God. That we are united by you. So we thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact@centrallife.com.au.